Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Among the many things going on in the performing arts this week, one of the productions that's worth knowing about is DanceWorks spring performance, Secrets from the Wide Sky. It is a mix of original choreography, music, and the shared secrets of its performers.
Dani Kepper is DanceWorks artistic director, and she joined me in the studio recently to explain more about the show, which originated with founder Sarah Wilbur's idea of a wide sky performance.
What we mean by that is that either in performance or in inspiration, that we draw inspiration from not only the dancers in the room, but also a wider sky, a wider cross-section of community members. So in this case, we have some middle school and high school students, most notably, that are involved beyond our DanceWorks Performance Company members. So that makes our age range in terms of, like, where are we getting these secrets and stories and inspirations from? Our youngest is about 13, and our oldest is, guess what, it's me. I just turned 45. So it's not the largest age range we've ever worked with, but I think it's a really meaningful one.
Well, and you talk about secrets, and that's part of this, is the idea that everyone contributes something, but that it's protected so that in performance you can't point to, oh, that's that person's.
Exactly. That's been the magic. And we started talking right from the beginning, working with the dancers, specifically the company members, first and foremost, to say, okay, it's ultimately up to you how much risk, you know, that you take on when you share a secret. And we had a variety of ways that we had to share secrets. So some would be completely anonymous written secrets on pieces of paper that we all threw into the mix. And those, to this day, we've all held true to this idea. Don't tell anyone which secret is yours. And don't ask anyone, is this yours? And then it's the idea that you draw a piece of paper when you're going to make a dance from it. You draw a piece of paper, and it may not be your own. It could be someone completely different from you with a different life experience. But then it's your job to figure out, how do you empathize with that secret? What do you know from your life experience that makes you understand that secret? And some of them are silly and funny, and some of them are really heartbreaking. but working in that way, it's really a concert about empathy. But then another way that we've shared secrets is I ask the dancers, if you want to, send me audio of you in your room, in your car, wherever you are. And two of those audio secrets have become part of the show. And so that's, like you said, that's one of the few times that you know this is this person's secret, that's their voice, and they've authorized the release of this secret. And in that case, it's a little bit about, you know, the secrets we keep in our mind about our self-perception, you know, the bad talk that you do to yourself sometimes, you know, what you keep in your head. And then there were audio secrets that are not shared, that I know who they are, but it's more for inspiration of dance making, but not for any reveal. So there's all kinds of layers. And I feel so honored. Some of the things that the dancers have sent to me is like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes to be a witness to things. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's also really lovely because it's just a joyful thing.
Yes. Yeah, to know the secrets of things that people are excited about and think about. And I was thinking right from the beginning, how will I honor this in a way that's artistic and secretive, you know, so not to reveal too much? So right from the beginning, I had the idea to work with my friend, Jennifer Kohnhorst, who is a really talented author of poetry, and also is a really good, she's won the Moth Storytelling Contest, I think twice, in Minneapolis. And the funny thing is, we've been friends since we were 4 years old. So we have a huge life history together. And anyway, she knows the ins and outs of me, and I know the ins and outs of her. And so I thought, I asked the dancers, can I send the recordings? Like, she doesn't know you guys, and she won't know whose story is whose, even when she comes to see the show. And so they all authorized me to send the recordings to her. So her and I are the only ones that have heard everything, right? And then she wrote poems that abstract all of the details of the secrets enough so that they can be shared in a way and also embodied by all of the dancers. So that's been a really important layer. Like, how can we find truth in sharing secrets without risking people's anonymity?
Right. You need to be protective in a way, but yet be free to be fully creative at the same time. That's a difficult balancing act to do. Well, and then you're also combining movement with music and with spoken word. And so you have a lot of different ways into that, I would think. And, you know, I love movement to spoken word because it's not something we see as much of as I think we should.
It's true, and it's difficult to do. That's probably why you don't see it all that often. I know I have a friend that's an actor that, you know, she's pretty critical of, as she should be, you know, like, are you able to embody the words? Embody the words and the movement at the same time, and it's really important to do that. So that's what we're really working towards. Almost all of the dancers are speaking quite a bit. Some just a little bit, not because they aren't able to, but just the way, you know, the way it all landed. But so that's been a big task for all of us, including the middle school and high school students.
So you're memorizing things in addition to mm-hmm. memorizing movement.
Yes. And figuring out how to have meaning be felt and seen and all of that is difficult. But anyway, we're really – I think we're doing a good job. I think it's a little bit of dance concert / physical theater, I would say.
It is something that I think dance has incorporated more in the last few decades, that kind of experimentation and the idea that there are lots of ways to express yourself through movement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you find that true in all the time you've been dancing and choreographing? Has that become more acceptable as a way of approaching the work?
Yeah, I think the very first dance that I choreographed when I was a college student was a piece about my grandmother called Mrs. Schultz, and it was a solo that I spoke and moved at the same time almost the whole time. And I remember at the time getting a lot of questions, you know, how are you balancing this? And now really it's not something that I would be questioned about so much, but I think it's still the question of how to do it well, you know? So I think that's a pretty important thing. One thing I should say that has been such a huge, as you already mentioned, that we have music in this concert. So we're working with Alan Russell, who is a composer in town and a violinist. He's great, so easy to work with, you know? And he has been so invaluable because he's been in the studio with us. And as we're trying to figure out how long does it say to take that, you know, to say that part of the poem? Okay, Alan, can you extend that 30 seconds? And, you know, so some of that we've done through email, of course, and in other ways. But and me just predetermining how much time I think. But he's been right there to be hands on and change it on the fly, which is a gift because I have done these kinds of concerts in the past. I did Falling from the Wide Sky a while back and Tall Tales from the Wide Sky. And both of those had a lot of language, not poetry. So it wasn't crafted language. So that's I'm really excited about these two new ideas, that the language is still from the Wide Sky, from the people that are, you know, dancing in the concert. But that it's crafted into an art in and of itself, and that the music is completely crafted to work in tandem with the movement and the words. And Alan and I, we started off actually working side by side. So he would just create music that has the sounds of keys jingling, you know, secret doors and things, and the sounds of shushing. But that his original inspirations, of course, now it's all morphed and become, you know, a unified language. But we worked side by side really without sharing too much, working in secret. And now we really are connecting. So
secret kind of plays through all of this. But then eventually things are revealed.
Yes.
In a way that, again, is safe and creative.
Yeah, I hope so. I feel pretty certain, you know, you never know for sure, but I feel 99% certain that all the dancers feel secure, you know, and I've asked them over and over. There was one poem I had to change some details, and Jennifer gave me authorization to do that. I had to change some details so as not to make some family members feel uncomfortable, things like that, and then just change the person that says the words. So mm-hmm. if you change a few details, keep the heart of it the same, but then shift the person that's saying the words out loud, I think it gives enough, you know, anonymity.
Well, and the important thing is the sort of the general human feeling that the words and movement do. It's not about somebody's specific story. It's about the fact that we all have stories.
Yeah.
Were there any stories that you thought to yourself, no, I can't touch this?
Yes. Yes, there was one dancer, and it's, I guess I can't even talk about it here. It's something that he is clear with in a group of friends and among us, but his family isn't clear with this idea, with this secret. So it was like, nope, we can't include that. He's not ready for that yet. But nonetheless, it's like, it's a part of our process that as a group, we all know, you know, we know this thing, we know we're helping protect that person. So that, I think, builds integrity. And also middle school and high school students, I was very careful because, of course, I'm not going to put myself in a position to say, oh, tell me a secret. You know, what if they tell me something? You know, they're too young to put on the spot like that. So, Jennifer helped me troubleshoot, you know, what's an appropriate secret topic area for kids to engage with, but would be really truthful and honest. And she thought of like fortune teller games, you know, that little paper fold up thing that you go 1, 2, pick a number, pick a color. And the games that you play when you're young that are about predicting the future, you know, knowing the secret of the future. And she also thought of that one where you have an apple, you twist it until the stem comes off and you say the alphabet, A, B, C, D. If the apple stem breaks there, then the person you're going to marry is, you know, his name starts with a D. So we played these games with the middle school and high schoolers as in a silly way. And we created a dance out of those that's very fun and playful. But then we sat down with them actually just last week. And it was so great just saying, what do you think about in the, you know, what's going to happen in the future? What do you worry about? And ACT scores, what if I get an A minus instead of an A? You know, these kinds of things. And one girl just said, I can't make any decisions. Like, she's 15 years old and she feels she can't make any decisions. So how is she going to make any decisions? And then in the room with Kim Johnson, who is 44 years old, she's dancing with them for the section. And hers is, you know, how old will I be when I finally retire? You know, so we're like juxtaposing sort of the secrets of what people worry about or think about what's in the future.
It's that kind of thing where you finally, when you get to a certain age, you realize, gosh, everyone's thinking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In some form or another. You think you're so alone when you're a teenager, like nobody's ever thought of it and nobody would understand you.
Exactly.
And why you're thinking about it. And then you discover, oh, wait, like everyone's got a version of this. And in a way, that's such a relief.
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, yeah. I think that's like the thesis statement of the concert. And truth be told, postsecret.com is, I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's...
I've interviewed the guy who created it.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool that he was here. And it was probably 4 years ago, I heard his TED Talk. And that really got me thinking. I did some of the research on this secret thing, kind of devising ways to gather secrets with protecting the dancers with a group of UWM students a while back. And Zach Schorsch is one of our dancers now. He also was in, and Maggie Sear. They're two current dancers that were in that UWM piece. So I've been thinking about it a while. Just how does that translate into dance making? And also dance, but all the arts are so much about empathy. You know, you sit in the audience and you watch the dancers or you listen to people singing or whatever it is that they're doing. And to me, whether you connect with something or not is whether or not you empathize with them. You know, do you feel that you can identify yourself in that whole thing? And so many times at Danceworks, we very outright, very evidently are engaging audience members, like come up on stage and do this thing or, you know, something silly like that. But in this way, the audience engagement part to me is really how can we invite them to empathize, you know, with these stories.
Danny Kepper, it is so great to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Danny Kepper is Artistic Director for Danceworks. The company's production, Secrets from the Wide Sky, runs this weekend and next Thursday through Saturday at Danceworks Studio Theater.